We're between a time period of not the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av is behind us, and we're not in Elul, so we're going to talk about something that's off the grid, a separate topic, but I think for me personally an important topic, something that I constantly try and strive to work on, and I think that's a topic that's relevant for everybody, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter where you're headed, no matter what you've done. I just want to start with a favorite story of mine. There was a large shul somewhere in the United States of America where the rabbi of the shul was about to retire after many, many years. And now that the rabbi was retiring, it was time to go and look for a new replacement rabbi for the shul. And they sent out ads in the newspaper looking for a new rabbi, and rabbis sent in resumes from all over the country seeing if they could become the rabbi of this very large, prominent shul. And after the search committee had sifted through and looked through all the different resumes of the people interested in the position of the shul, so they settled on two candidates. Now, the two candidates were very different. One of the rabbis was very organized, very proper, very straight, always reviewing his notes, always making sure everything was planned out. And the other guy was very, very fun, very exciting, always going by what was on his mind, never thinking things out, but also very talented. So you had these two different extremes of rabbis who could become the leaders of these shuls. So they brought them into town. They didn't have any hospitality for them, so they put them up in a local inn, you know, bed and breakfast motel in town, and that's where they're going to stay for Shabbos. So in room 4 was the very not organized rabbi, the rabbi who was very spontaneous. And in room 5, sharing the same wall, was the very organized and thought out methodical rabbi. So it's Friday afternoon. It's time to get ready for Shabbos. So the spontaneous rabbi is very relaxed. He has a basic idea of what his drush is going to be about, but he'll figure it out along the way. And he sits down in his bed, hands behind his head, beginning to relax. And in the other room, on the other side of the wall, he hears the other guy, the other rabbi. And he's very proper and prepared. And he takes out his notes. And he starts to review his drush that he's going to give in shul tomorrow in the shul that he's trying out for. And it's always beautifully spoken. And he stops at the proper places, you know, waiting for the laugh. And he knows how to raise his voice and how to make his voice quiet. And he begins to give this beautiful drush. And the disorganized, spontaneous rabbi on the other side of the wall is listening to this drasha, and he says, wow, that's an amazing drasha. So he gets up off the bed, he grabs a pen and paper from the desk, and he starts writing down and copying down this other rabbi's drasha that he's planning on giving tomorrow. He writes the whole thing down, the jokes, the stories, where to pause, where to go high, where to go low, and he rips off the entire drasha. They both come to shul tomorrow morning, and the spontaneous rabbi, who now has his notes in hand, goes over to the gabbai of the shul right away, and he says, if you wouldn't mind, please do me a favor, I would like to speak first. I want to speak first. We all know his plan, right? He's going to get up now in front of the shul, and he's going to give the drasha that the other rabbi prepared, and he's going to cut him off at the pass, and he's going to make him look foolish. He's going to give a great drasha. The other rabbi is going to look like a fool. Either he's going to repeat the same thing, or he's going to hem and haw, and he's not going to know what to do, and he's going to get the job. So he gets up in front of the shul, and he gives a knockout drasha. And as he's looking over, he sees the other rabbi, the organized rabbi, whose drasha he ripped off, his mouth gets wider and wider and wider, and he turns white as a ghost. Because he realizes that this is the end of his career. He's done. It's over. He has no drush, and this guy just ripped it off for him. And he can't believe what just happened. So the guy finishes the drusha. It's so good. They are applauding. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody applause after a drusha in shul. They're standing up, they're clapping. The best speech these people have ever heard before. And this guy doesn't know what to do. It's it. He's done. And as he's walking up to the bima to give the drasha, a light bulb goes off in his head. And he comes in front of the shul and he says the following. He says, you know, there are two types of rabbis. There are rabbis who are mechadish. They have new ideas, they're talented, they're creative, they pull beautiful ideas, they inspire. And those rabbis, they're wonderful, there's a place for them. But there's other rabbis who are makshiv. They pay attention to you. They're there when you need them. They listen to you intently when you have to tell them a story. They hear where you're coming from. They're no se ba'ol chavero. And they really connect to you through the power of listening and really hearing where you're coming from. And they have a connection with you just by giving you the time and giving you their hearts and their patience to listen to what you have to say. And that's the type of rabbi I am. I'm a rabbi who listens, who pays attention, who really gets to know you and hears what you have to say. You can unburden yourself on me, and I will really be able to hear what you're saying, relate to you, and really be a partner with you in our growth together as a community. And to show you my ability, what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to repeat back the beautiful drasha that my friend just gave, word for word. And I'm going to show you how well I listened to what he said, how I imbibed the words that he taught us, and how everything he said struck me, and how good of a listener I am. And the rabbi gets up and proceeds to give, blow by blow, the same exact drasha. And the crowd goes wild. How did he do that? His memory, the attention to detail. He stopped in the right places. He gave the same joke, the same story. It was amazing. How did he do that? And the applause for him was twice as loud, twice as long. And you'll guess what happens? He got the job and they hired him to be the rabbi of the shul. This is what I want to talk about. The art of listening. The importance of paying attention, of listening to people when they talk, and how we can use that to build our own Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, and also use it to build our own Beit Adam L'Atzmo, to become better people, and to really improve ourselves in our own Avodas Hashem. I want to talk about why listening is an important skill we should all be working on. I want to talk about what benefits we can gain for ourselves in developing the power of listening, and also how we can all become better listeners going forward. Just to be clear, I am 100% talking to myself. I can always improve my listening when it comes, you know, to my students, certainly with my spouse, with my wife, with my children. There's always place and space to improve on our listening. So let's begin with the first point. The first point is that a good listener shows that they care and they are concerned for other people. If you hold yourself to be someone who cares about other people, then you must be a good listener. Rabbi Nathan Adler was the rabbi of the British Empire. He was the rabbi of, we've heard of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. I'm sure we've heard of him before. And before him was Rabbi Emanuel Jacobowitz. And there was a number of chief rabbis before him. But Rabbi Nathan Adler was the chief rabbi of Great Britain in the turn of the 20th century. So a man once came to visit Rabbi Nathan Adler. And he wanted to talk with him. He wanted to discuss certain important things with him. He had traveled over Europe and he had a lot of ideas on his mind. So the man sits down in Rabbi Adler's office and begins to talk, and talk, and talk, and talk. 15 minutes, 25 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. The guy cannot shut his mouth. And Rabbi Adler tries to, you know, get a word in, tries to comment, and the guy's like a railroad car running right through him. He can't stop him. The guy's talking and talking and talking. And at a certain point, Rabbi Adler's getting a bit annoyed that this guy will not stop talking, will not share the conversation with anybody else. And at a certain point, the guest says something in his conversation. He says, "Oh, I have to tell you an amazing thing I heard myself from Rabbi Yitzhak Al-Khan, inspector of the Rav of Kovno, the Gadol Ador, the Posek Ador." So Rabbi and he starts to, you know, barrel through. So Rabbi Adler says, "Oh, no, one sec, before you continue." He says, "What you're saying is sheker. It's not true. There's no way what you said is true." So the guy said, "How do you know I'm lying? I didn't even tell you what Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Khan inspector told me." He said, "There's no way you were quiet for 3 seconds that you could have listened to anything Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Khan inspector, because you talk so much. You don't listen to other people. When you care about other people and you have a good sense of Ben Al-Khabero, you want to listen to what other people have to say and not just say what you have to say. There are people, and we all know them, who talk through you. They don't want to have a conversation with you. They want to tell you what they want you to hear. And they talk at you. They're not engaged in a siach, in a conversation. They just want to spout what's in their mind, in their heart, and they want to throw it at you. That's not good listening conversation. That's just shooting ideas at you. They're not interested in you. They're interested in having their experience shared, but not having a shared experience with you. It is no accident that the word listen is the same letters as silent. If you're going to be someone who listens, you must be silent and not interrupt and to get your point in. Don't be busy getting your answer ready, right? We do this all the time. as the person is telling you their point, you are already formulating your response, and us, and then me, and then no, but I, and nobody says anything, because each one is trying to outdo the other person and try to tell them how their point is better and stronger than you. Because neither side in the conversation is being silent. And because they are not being silent, they are not listening to what the other one has to say. Listen carefully and get in the habit of repeating back what the person has told you. Confirm what they have said. Because if you can repeat back to them what they have told you, that means you are listening and paying attention to what they had to say. Not in like a weird robotic way. Oh, so you're telling me you had chicken for dinner. That is so nice. Not in a weird way. Engage the conversation. Let the person know. If the person just told you a 5-minute episode about something that happened to them, so then in some form let them know that you heard what they said and process it back to them. Let them know that you were silent listening as they were talking is part of the conversation. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Eino nichnas l'soch divrei chavero. A chacham, a wise person, this is in the 5th parak of Pirkei Avos, is Eino nichnas l'soch divrei chavero. A wise person doesn't go into the words of his friend. What does that mean? He doesn't cut people off when they're talking. A chacham doesn't cut people off when they have things to say. We often do this for two reasons. One, the most common is, we think we know more than the other person. Let me stop right there. You're making a terrible mistake. It's not true. I know the information better than you. Let me tell you why you're wrong, and let me tell you how to think, because you are 100% incorrect. And we cut people off because we need to inform them how to think and what to say. That's the first issue that we have, because we feel that we know more than the other person. When we listen, we have to be silent, as we said. And one of the issues with being silent is that when we are quiet, it makes us uncomfortable. We are uncomfortable with silence, so nobody saying anything. And because we get clammy and awkward when nobody says anything, or we have nothing to say, we say dumb things. Because we can't control ourselves. We have this anxious thing inside of our minds where we have to say things when nobody else is saying something, and we become uncomfortable. And we feel uncomfortable because we think it makes us look dumb if we don't say anything. Or it makes everyone feel uncomfortable unless we shine in with something to say. Inevitably, we say something that is insensitive, is irrelevant, or mean, because we can't bear to be silent. We see this often when people are being Menachem Avel. Somebody has lost a relative, and we go to pay a shiva call, and we're uncomfortable with the silence. It's awkward. So we say dumb things, because we don't know what to say. Say Chazal, better to sit in a shiva house and say nothing than to say something that will be uncomfortable and awkward to those present. It's okay to have awkward silence on a date, l'mashal. It is not normal for a couple to be married and to sit there for 3 hours after you've been married for how many years and to talk constantly. It's not normal conduct on a date. It's okay if there's silence between two people sitting there. It doesn't have to be filled with blabbering and speech for 3 hours straight. It's okay if there's nothing being said. When there's silence and you process what people say and you listen and you allow the ideas to overcome you, that's okay, and it's good to let that process. The Mile de Avos, this is a Perush on Pirkei Avos, so he writes that there are two things wrong with being nichnas the divrei chavero. It shows that you have a lack of intelligence, as we pointed out before, because if you were smart, you would let other people finish their thoughts and feelings, what they have to say. But also it hurts other people. It's onas dvarim. It's painful. Nobody likes to be cut off. Nobody likes to be told, sorry, I know better. We want to finish our thoughts. We're a ben adam. We're people. We have what to say. We have what to offer. How could you come and cut me off when I have something to add? Sometimes we cut people off because the person misspoke, right? Sometimes they're telling a story and maybe they flip the names of people, right? Sometimes people do is they flip the names, they flip the information, something like that. And we correct them because, you flip the names around. I promise you, you would get the exact same point of the story if you did not correct the person and tell them they flipped the people's names or they flipped the dates. They'll get it out. Why do you have to interrupt to make it correct? Was the story any worse now because you pointed out to them that they flipped some information around? Let them tell their story. Let them share what they have to say. We don't need to upset them, to embarrass them, to make them feel silly because they flipped information around or made a mistake. The Avos Rabbi Nassim says, no one less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us not to be nichnas l'sof divrei chavero. When Hashem goes to Avram Avinu, and he tells him, I'm going to destroy stone. So Avram then launches in to this Shakespearean soliloquy about if there are so many tzaddikim, 55, 45, 35, 25, all the way down to 10. And he's talking and talking and talking and talking. And Hashem is sitting there going, okay, I know there's not 10 tzaddikim. And he just lets Avram talk and talk and talk and talk the whole time. Why didn't Hashem cut Avram off and say, Avram, let's go. We have things to do. Stone, I have a meeting with them in a few minutes. Let's move this along. There's no tzaddikim there. Says the Avos Rabbi Nassim. Do you know why? Because Hashem was teaching us a lesson. Don't cut people off, even if you're God. Let them finish what they have to say. And then when they finish what they have to say, you make your point afterwards. Says the Avos Rabbi Nassim, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cut off a Russia like Korach. Korach is yammering on and on and on about Moshe's a Russia and Aaron's a Russia and they stole it from us and it's their fault and I could be a better leader. On and on and on and on. And you know what Moshe Rabbeinu does? He stands there silently and lets Korach finish his point. Do you know why? Because a chacham is eno nichnas l'divrei chavero. A wise person doesn't cut other people off, because everyone should be given the dignity to feel worthy about themselves and to allow themselves to express what they have to say. We are all familiar with Shlomo HaMelech and the first test of wisdom given to Shlomo HaMelech. We know that Shlomo HaMelech has a dream and Hashem grants him wisdom, and then he wakes up the next morning and he's given his first case. What's Shlomo HaMelech's first case? What's his first case? The baby, right? The baby. What's the case of the baby? Two women lived in the same apartment, and one had a baby, and the other had a baby, and unfortunately, in the middle of the night, one of the babies passed away. And one claims that another woman, this woman who lost the child, went and flipped it. And she said, my child is the one that's alive, hers is dead, my child's the one that's alive, hers is dead, and they have this claim back and forth. Whose child that's alive is the actual belongs to the mother who's claiming it, and which child unfortunately passed away belongs to that one. And at the end of that episode, before Shlomo gets to the big finale of the sword and cutting them in half, Shlomo Melech says something. Vayomer Melech, Zos Omeres Zebeni Hachai Ubinecha Hames. You say that your son is alive and the other one's son has died. Vizos Omeres Lo. And you say, no, that my son is the one that's alive, and the other one is the child that has died. We see that Shlomo does something important. He does what we said before. He repeats back to them what they said. Why does Shlomo do that? He does that because he wants them to feel that he listened to what they have to say. No one less than Shlomo Melech listened to what they had to say, and he repeats back to them exactly what they said, so they should feel that someone paid attention to them and was listening to their points. Recently, there was a beautiful article in Mishpacha magazine by Rav Reuven Leichter. If you do not know who Rav Reuven Leichter is, you should. You should be reading his essays, you should be reading his writings. He's a tremendous, tremendous, special Talmud Chacham. He's a very talented mashkiach, who has insightful, penetrating ideas into the human mind and the human condition. So Rav Leichter writes in this article, listen to what he says. He says, listening, really listening to another person, perhaps no other act of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is so basic, so important, and yet so overlooked. Every day, we converse with family, friends, and colleagues. We hear them, we respond to them, but most of the time, we don't really listen to them. We neglect their human need to be heard, and more important, to be deemed worth listening to. Nobody wants to ever feel that they're not worth being listened to, that they're less than anybody else. When you give your friends, your parents, your siblings, somebody else, your full undivided attention to listen to what they have to say, You make them feel that they are worthy of being listened to. And that is a tremendous service that you give to another person, Beinat al-Machaber. Number two, let's talk about what it does for us and how it makes us into better, deeper thinkers. Why does the response of the woman who says to cut my baby in half make any sense? Let's think about this for a second, right? Shlomo Melech says, I'm not sure what to do. So she says, bring out the sword and let's cut up the baby, we'll split it in half. The woman who's lying, she says what? What does she say? Sure. Cut the baby. Go ahead, cut the baby. And the woman who's telling the truth says, you know, no, give it to the other woman. That's the right thing to do. Did Shlomo actually think that the women were going to be like, oh, you're right, we didn't think of that. Let's cut the baby in half. You are the wisest king in the whole world. I don't know what we were talking about this whole time. What was Shlomo thinking in that moment when he brought out the guard with the sword? He was going to, like, you know, come with a brilliant plan they didn't have before? So the Malbim says as follows. The Malbim says, Shlomo Melech woke up after this dream, and he was told he was Chacham Mikol Adam. He was the smartest man in the world. And this was the first case that he saw. The Chachma of Shlomo is that he noticed something right away, because he was a good listener. What did he notice? The woman said again and again, your child is dead, and my child lived. Your child is dead, my child. She said this three times. What is close to a person's heart, says the Malbim, is what they ask first. The woman wasn't motivated to get that child. The woman who lost her child was jealous that her neighbor had a child and that she did not have a child anymore. She had no desire at all to really walk home with a baby. Her whole goal was that her neighbor should suffer just like she suffered losing her child. And that's why she couldn't control herself and say, but your child is dead and mine is alive. She kept on repeating it because her heart was broken that she had lost her child. And Shlomo saw that in the way she was speaking because Shlomo was a good listener. And he was able to pinpoint exactly what was going on. He had no idea. He had no plan to cut a baby in half. Shlomo just wanted to get her riled up, to bring out the point that it would be obvious to everybody, and that she should hear for herself how wrong she was in what she was doing. Because careful listening meant that right away, Shlomo knew the case. Within a second, he knew who was right, who was wrong. He only wanted to make it seem so that it would be clear to one of the women that she was lying, and the other one was telling the truth. When you are interested in the Chachma, you have to first get in the habit of absorbing. Let the information that someone's talking to you about first come into you. Don't analyze it yet. Don't try to figure out what they're saying, and don't try to pick apart in your mind. Because we know you all do this. We all do this all the time. As they're talking to you, you're already deconstructing their arguments. And you're already trying to tell them why they're wrong, and trying to figure out their problems. They don't want you to figure out their problems. They want you just to listen. So first, absorb. It's very, very hard. It's very, very hard to do this. Just absorb the information that someone's telling you, and then afterwards, work on processing it and trying to figure out. But just let that information come in, like Shlomo HaMelech. The Rebbe Rashab of Chabad said that it is 100 times easier to speak and to give a drasha and to tell a story than to listen to a story. This is easy for me. I can get up and talk, and I can talk and talk and talk all night. But to sit while another person is talking to you and to have your mind focused on what they're saying and to not be off somewhere else and thinking about what time I'm going to sleep tonight and who am I going to talk to after the shiur and what's going to be with tomorrow. That's hard. To focus in on the words that a person is saying is much more difficult. To come to a shiur is much more difficult than to give a shiur, because it requires the power of listening, as we said before. A good listener can absorb that information and then process it afterwards as well. The question we need to ask ourselves is not how many shiurim do you go to? The question is how many shiurim do you listen to? That's the question you have to ask yourself. The question is not how many dates does a person go on? The question is how many dates does a person pay attention to as an engaged listener on that date. That's what the idea is, to be engaged in listening, not to mark off how many times you do something. How many times are you listening is the real measure of success. There's a terrible midah called kvar. Kvar means already. The midah of already goes like this. I already heard this story. I don't have to listen. I already heard this dvar Torah. So what happens when we already heard this? We check out. Because there's no value in the person is saying anymore. Even though maybe this time the person will give a spin on it, you'll notice something you didn't notice before. But we often get into this midah of kvar, already. I already heard this from being in chinuch for many, many years in Camp Lavi down the road and being a long-time camper there. I will tell you, there is no worse child in a chinuch shir class than the child that in the beginning of your story says, I know this story, and then he ruins the story before the end of the story. You have a 25-minute story, which is an end with a bang. Oh, this is the one where the rabbi was really selling, you know, animal fats, and really it was diamonds, and da, da, da. Nobody cares. Why did you ruin my entire class? Because why? Because the child suffers from the midah of kvar, already. I already heard this. I already heard this, therefore it's irrelevant to me, and I assume it's irrelevant to everybody else, and there's no purpose for it, and we're done here, we should all go play basketball now. And that is a terrible midah. And I'm sure the child will grow up and become a fine young man or a fine young woman, but that midah we do ourselves, because we shut people out. And we say, I already heard this idea. It's not relevant, I don't need to hear this, I heard this story, I heard this whole song and dance. And that is a midah we have to be aware of. We do the same thing, by the way, not when it comes to information, but we do it when it comes to people. I don't need to listen to my mom nag me again because I already know her and her story. I don't need to listen to my friend. Kvar, already, I know my friend. What my friend tells me. My sister, my brother, already I know them. So what do? But they're on the back, but we're not paying attention. We're half looking at our phone, half paying attention to something else. Why? Because they are already to us. We're done with them. We know they're not interesting, not exciting to us. Part of the need of listening is to treat people as interesting. Your friends who are sitting with you right now, maybe you know them for a little bit, maybe you know them for longer. They are interesting people. They are fascinating human beings who have what to share and what to learn from. And they will and they can surprise you if you let them. And stop treating them as already. Your siblings, your parents, your teachers, they're not that boring. They're interesting. They have what to share with you. They have surprises there for you as well. But stop treating them as kvar, already. Because when you treat them as already, you already shut them out before you start. Because they're not interesting. They're old. They have nothing new to teach you at this time anymore. Listening with the right mindset can open up worlds of discovery, of finding interesting new things about your friends and family that you didn't already know before. Why is it, by the way, that children have better memories than adults? That children hold on to things that they heard many, many years later than adults forget things a week later? Adults are smarter. So why is it that children have better memories when these things? So I think the answer is because children are better listeners. They're sponges. They want to soak up all the information. Adults are bored. And we have very, very large egos. And we think that we know everything. And we think we've heard everything. But children are fascinated by the world around them. And they want to learn more and hear more. We need more childlike wonder and fascination to be more interested in the things and the people around us. And then we'll be that much better listeners than we were before. Number three. And this is just a short point. That listening actually makes you more interesting yourself. It'll make you a better conversationalist. You'll ask questions about the other person. And you'll relate back to what they said. And you say, oh, you made this point before, and it connects what you said over here. And you will be more interesting. Not only will they be more interesting, but you will be a much more interesting person when you are better at listening and able to absorb and then to process what people are saying. And you'll engage and find yourself saying more valuable insights. Number four, if you care about people, that will help enhance your ability to listen as well, as we said before. Anyone who has spent any time with Rabbi Schechter knows that Rabbi Schechter is an amazing listener. Rabbi Schechter, when you come to see him in the middle of Seder in Yeshiva, or you stop him on the street, he totally blocks out the rest of the world. And he focuses on you and you only, and he gives you all the time in the world. And you don't feel like you're being rushed, or you have to be sent out of the room, or there's somebody else waiting after you. And he's a really good listener. And when he listens well to you, you feel so special about yourself, because it shows that he cares about you and that what you have to say, giving the attention. Whenever people would come to talk with the Rav Moshe Feinstein, whether they came to ask a shaila that was going to take 30 seconds, or whether it was going to take 30 minutes, he closed his Gemara. He closed his Gemara. Because he never wanted a person to feel that he's rushing to get back to something else. When you were with him, he was listening to you and only you and nothing else. And again, 100% speaking to myself, this is something I struggle with myself, closing the sefer, putting away the phone. All of these things, when talking to somebody else, only enhance our ability to listen better and to focus directly on that person. The Pasuk says in Devarim and Perek Tes that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Bnei Yisrael about the instructions given to the Dayanim to be future judges of Klal Yisrael. And one of the instructions where they should be, Shamua Bein Acheichem, they should listen amongst their brothers. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elio Landau, the Maggid of Vilna, Shamua Bein Einechem, Bein Acheichem, they should listen amongst their brothers. What does that mean? So he explains that if somebody is beloved to you, a very close brother, a very close sibling, when they talk to you, hopefully you pay attention. I know we spoke about when we take advantage of that earlier. But in a normal situation, when someone you love very much comes to talk to you, you focus in on them, pay attention. So too, these dayanim, these judges of the Jewish people, they need to treat every single litigant, every single person who comes to their court, as acheichem, as their brother. And to not zone out when they're hearing a case. And to not say, I already heard this. But to focus on them and love them as a brother and a sister, so they can give them full attention, listen to them properly as well. Says the Maggid of Vilna, this is a lesson for us. If we treated every person as interesting, meaningful, loved by us, we would listen to them. They would be Shamua Bein Acheichem, and we would listen to them better because we would treat them as our brother and our sister. Rav Leichter adds in his piece, we're the ones who determine whether we're going to hear something interesting or dull. We just need to make the conscious decision to listen with the right mindset. What I'm about to hear is going to be interesting. That's his advice. From now on, he says, when someone comes to talk to you, in your head you should say, this is going to be interesting. Just tell yourself it's going to be interesting. And if you convince yourself that it's going to be interesting, you'll listen, because you're looking forward to be surprised and to hear new things that you didn't hear before. I just want to end with a beautiful paragraph from a piece written by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. He writes as follows. He says, Judaism is a religion of listening, not seeing. That is not to say that there are no visual elements to Judaism. There are, but they're not primary. Listening is the sacred task. We said in this week's parsha, Shema Yisrael. The most famous command in Judaism is Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. It takes training, focus, the ability to create silence in the soul to learn how to listen, whether to God or to a fellow human being. Seeing shows us the beauty of the created world. Listen to this line. But listening connects us to the soul of another and sometimes to the soul of the other, Hashem. God, as he speaks to us, calls to us, summoning us to our task in this world. If I were to ask how to find God, I would say, learn to listen. Listen to the song of the universe and the call of the birds, the rustle of the trees, the crash of the heave of the waves. Listen to the poetry of prayer, the music of psalms. Listen deeply to those you love and to who love you. Listen to the words of God in the Torah and hear them speak to you. Listen to the debates of the sages through the centuries as they try to hear the text's intimations and inflections. Don't worry about how you or others look. The world of appearances is a false world of masks, disguises, and concealments. Listening is not easy. I confess, I find it formidably hard. But listening alone bridges the abyss between the soul and the soul, the self and the other. I and the divine, Jewish spirituality, is the art of listening. Just to review what we said, we opened up with the story of the two rabbis, the one who was, you know, very creative, very spontaneous, and the one who was a good listener. And we spoke about the importance of absorbing before processing. Get interested in what people have to say and find them interesting, and appreciate that you may not know everything. Do you want to hear another perspective? Does the person you are with want to hear different perspectives as well? Care and concern for others. Becoming a deeper thinker, becoming a better conversationalist, and learning to care about people are all part of the art of listening. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. And to be continued.